When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18+, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free. And it goes to Gibbs-White.
First time we've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do.
Taylor won, he scores! And the sticky ground goes ballistic!
Hello and welcome back to Red Side of the Trent as we reflect on another weekend of Premier League action and as Spurs ran out 3-1 winners over Forest. Joining me to discuss and reflect on a few other things, including Everton's points deduction and other weekend results, are Rhys Lane and Christian Brown. Hope you are all well. Before we get into it, just want to send our commiserations to Joe Kinnear and his family. Obviously passed away, unfortunately, over the weekend. Manager we had in League One, maybe not our best manager, but nonetheless, we pay our respects.
Championship,
did he go into League One for a bit?
No.
I don't bloody know. Who cares?
Unfortunately.
Well, we'll pay our respects anyway to Joe Kinnear and his family, who obviously had a terrific managerial career at Wimbledon, if anyone remembers that in the 90s with the crazy gang. But to start off with, guys, I'm not going to mention the team because it was unchanged, and it was rightly so unchanged after a great midweek win. But Christian, as you were the man on the ground with me next to the I'm not going to brush over it, but it was the Sung Hyun Min fan group in the Tottenham home end. But what did you make of the start to the game as Spurs dominated expectedly at the start?
Yeah, it kind of went as we thought it might go. We all said our predictions, you know, head speaking, realistically, it's going to be very tough for us. And as from the outset, it shows. I mean, Spurs are a quality team. I looked at the team before as it was coming in. I was like, oh, this could be quite a long night for us. But FA started well. I thought I don't know if it was a case of us just being sluggish or them just stamped their authority pretty early. I think I'm going to lean more towards the latter because I actually think we didn't do too much wrong. It's just a case of they were just very good to begin with. And yeah, I mean, obviously we tried to drop their sort of flow with several fouls, which can be taken one way or the other. But ultimately, yeah, we looked like we were going to crack, and unfortunately we did.
Yeah. Rhys, obviously watching from home, you probably get a different picture to us. So would you have changed anything? Like, would you have tweaked anything? Because it just seemed like we couldn't get a foothold on the ball. And every time we did, we just seemed to give it back to Spurs immediately.
I mean, until the opening goal, I generally thought the game was being played at walking pace, really. It was like kind of a friendly feel. And you kind of thought, with obviously Tottenham having most of the ball as we expected, they kind of ramp it up a little bit of a gear and score, which is, unfortunately for Murillo, what they did. There'll be people saying I'm picking on certain players here, but, you know, within, 15 minutes, I think Yates had made four fouls. And to be honest, he was probably lucky to get to the fourth foul before being booked. You're kind of losing that midfield battle straight away, aren't you, when you know, Ryan Yates' strengths are hassling, and, you know, he's already on a booking after 15 minutes when you've got some real quality players in the middle, like James Maddison, who he kept pulling down. So, yeah, I think up until the first goal, I thought it was a pretty sluggish start from us, and similar to kind of the Palace game, wasn't it, really, where we just not started quick enough, and, you know, we unfortunately was punished with a bit of, I guess, unlucky, because, as we're going to discuss in a minute, but yeah, just a disappointing start for us overall, really, for me.
Yeah, I mean, we may as well get into it, Reece. So obviously, just before before Murillo scored an own goal, I mean, when is he eventually going to score this wonder goal? And I just hope it's in a Forest shirt, because he keeps trying. Like, I couldn't believe it. I he's took the ball off Maddison, and then I'm like, what the nerf is he doing? And then I'm like, oh my God, it's nearly going in. And then I think Tom mentioned next to me, he's like, if it was a little bit less windy, it might have gone in. I was like, I don't think so. But
I mean,
I think it's just the direction wasn't quite there, unfortunately.
Well, the camera struggled to stay up with it. I think they were showing a replay, and next minute, all you see is this ball flying forward, and you're like, Jesus. And then literally as soon as it kind of did show Vaccaro running back, you kind of know, don't you, by the goalkeeper's reaction, because if the goalkeeper's proper scrambling, then they're really worried. Vaccaro, I wouldn't say, was proper scrambling back. He was running back, don't get me wrong, but you can kind of tell, can't you, when they're really scrambling, they're like, I'm not going to swear, but poo. Oh, I'm in trouble here. Yeah. It's a great effort. I mean, Adley Gadiora, I mean, must have been tipping his hat. I mean, we always think that one that nearly went in against West Brom years ago. So, I mean, Jamie Redknapp and Roy Keane said it would have been the best goal in Premier League history, which would have been something for.
I mean, he keeps trying these speculative efforts. I'm expecting one to come off, but let's talk about the goal. I mean, it's probably a well worked goal from Tottenham's point of view, but I don't think Murillo can really do anything more with what he does. Like, if Aina can give him a shout behind him, maybe is probably the only thing, because he's stretching for the ball all the time for it, and he can't divert any other way. What did you make of it?
To be honest, I thought Werner probably had Williams' number yesterday.
He was fast. You know, on that.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been quick, Timo Werner. I mean, when Chelsea signed him, they decided to play him as an out-and-out number nine. And when I've watched him, I don't see him as that type of player. His movement's really good. He's pacey, but he's not a natural finisher. So clearly, Ange has decided that he's better off coming on from the left. And I thought he gave Williams a hard time because, as well, Nico, to be fair to him, didn't really have much cover. It was kind of a lot of one-on-one situations against him. And, you know, with Werner's turn of pace, he's put that into that corridor of uncertainty, to say, don't they? And Murillo's had to make a decision. And unfortunately for him, he's just got the contact wrong. You know, what could he do better is obviously to get a better contact on it and divert it somewhere else, but he hasn't. And it was, like I say, a sluggish start, and you kind of saw it coming, to be honest.
I mean, Christian, it kind of told, and I'm pretty sure yourself was feeling the same sort of way. You kind of think, well, here we go again, the heavens might have opened, because it seemed to be like a wave after wave of Tottenham attacks. But Matt Sells pulled off possibly one of the best saves of the season, and you kind of go, why weren't you here in August rather than in January? Because what a save it is from Johnson, and that kind of seemed to give us a bit of a kick up the backside, in my opinion.
It was definitely a turning point for the first half, that save. And you're right. I mean, I think if we had Sells from the start of the season, we'd be talking about cost of our mid-table destinations and whether we're going to be 10th, 11th or 12th, or maybe not with a deduction, but you know what I mean? I feel like it was why he was my vote for player of the month for March. I had Williams second out on our pod page. But like, I just feel that he's just offered such a calm input to the back, and he's been so dependable. I mean, that was an outrageously good save from Johnson. And Sells were brilliant last night, and I'm sure we'll come on to him. Other calls, he kept us in the game a lot of different times. But that save was brilliant, and it sort of, like you said, it sparked Forrest into life a little bit. It was sort of like, right, okay, time to sort of, turn now. And yeah, I mean, it showed very much. It was just, I don't know how, it's like, you know, it's point blank for Johnson pretty much, isn't it? Like, he hasn't really got a lot of time to react or anything like that. It's very instinctive, but yeah, outstanding save from Sells. And again, it's just so nice having a competent goalkeeper for the first time all season. It's like so nice.
Yeah. Well, sticking with yourself, Christian, let's talk about the Wood goal, because it's a well-worked goal from our perspective. Anthony Elanga's finally back in the goal involvements. I mean, he looked like bloody roadrunner yesterday at times against the doggy. And I mean, the doggy's no slouch, is he? Just we'll get on to a bit more on Anthony Elanga, but let's talk through the goal, because Chris Wood is absolutely on flames at the moment. I don't even know how to describe this bloke. He's like, well, he's the Kiwi Kane, isn't he?
Was it 12 goals down the league, I think?
Right, yeah, so? I think so, yeah. Was it nine in his last 10?
Yeah, phenomenal. One thing that alerted me earlier on, actually, was that, you know, last week we were saying about how Hudson-Odoi kept flaming Tete in the Fulham game, and how impressive that was. And then I thought when that ball went over the top and Van der Ven just gained, like, we seemed to be running, like, quick. 2 metres a second. It was ridiculous, that. It was like, I think like that, it was just, I'm not even sure Elanga could have dealt with Van der Ven, to be fair. That's, like, it was just stupidly fast how he got back to the ball. But no, obviously, it therefore made a lot more sense to target the other side where he can't impact as much. And yeah, I thought it was a really good move from Forest. I thought we got the ball well. I think once we started showing a bit more bravery, we started looking after the ball a bit better. We started playing ourselves to quite some promising positions. And, you know, we really started putting Spurs on the ropes. Like that was a sort of like the peak of a fairly sustained spell of pressure, which didn't really relent until the halftime whistle. It was a lovely interplay. I think it was Gibbs White and Langer, I think. Or I think it's Gibbs White and Langer through. And
Nico plays him.
Was it Williams? Oh, fair, yeah. But yeah, lovely line to play. And then obviously the ball across. And then it's just, again, we also mentioned instinctive from Sells. It's instinctive from Words and Knight. Just sort of, you know, as a striker in form right there, he didn't even think, he just knew exactly where that ball was going the second it came to him. And yeah, Vicario had no chance, really. Brilliant goal. And obviously gave us something to celebrate, which was nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then obviously, like as Christian mentioned, Rhys, a bit of a barrage of Forest pressure, and we have to talk about Wood hitting the post. I mean, it's a great move, Murillo to Aina's pullback, which is actually a successful one for a change, and Ryan Yates is running onto it, and he does well to get the shot off and into the corner. And I generally thought Vicario had made like save of the season, and then I didn't realise Wood had hit the post. I don't know what his thoughts were when he's like running up to that ball. Other than maybe he's probably already scored.
Sorry, you made me laugh about the Van der Ven pace, because Callum Hudson-Odoi was like flat out and he just gave up because he just couldn't catch him. I was like, yeah, maybe this high line. No wonder they can play with this high line then with pace like that. Very Kyle Walker-esque. But yeah, it was a nice move and Ryan Yates comes onto it. I actually thought Yates probably should have scored, really. I think if he puts it, to be fair, he placed it quite well. But if he'd just placed that with a bit more power, I think he would have beat Vicario. But, you know, he's hit the target, he's made the keeper work. And the big chance is the second. I mean, how hasn't he scored? Probably just overconfidence, really, with the form he's in. He probably just thinks everything's going right for me. I'm just that confident in myself at the minute as a striker. I'm just going to absolutely whack this and just basically bust the net. And unfortunately, he's just got his margins a bit wrong and it smacked the post, and he has to score them to, you know, I can't have a gripe too much at Chris Wood, because his goals are going to be, if we do stay up, a massive part of keeping us up at the minute, because without him, I think we would be in a world of trouble at the minute. So he should have scored, no doubt about it. He'll be gutted he hasn't scored. Would it have, you know, if we'd have gone 2-1 up, would I have fancied us with our defensive record to keep Tottenham out? Probably not, if I'm going to be honest. But it's all in hindsight whether that would have changed the outcome of the game or not. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm sure he'll be kicking himself he didn't make it 13 for the season with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting point there, because I was going to ask you and you kind of took words out of my mouth. So thank you for that. Yeah, it's an interesting one to see if we've gone 2-1 or what would have happened, because obviously then Tottenham made two changes at half time at 1-1. Would they have still made them changes? I probably would have said yes, because I don't think Andrew's very happy with Bissouma and Pape Sarr. They seem to stink up the gaff. Although I thought they were pretty good like for the first 20 minutes, and then they just lost all control. Like Danilo and Gibbs White started to get on the ball a little bit more and actually start making things happen a little bit more for us. And it's just such a shame, because it would have been interesting to see what would have happened, because a lot of Tottenham fans who I spoke to afterwards reckons they'd have just crumbled completely under the pressure of having to come back, though they've done it so many times at their new stadium. So, yeah, it would have been an interesting, it would have been nice for us to have something to hang on to. And it would have been a tetchy second half, and we know what Forest are like. So, yeah, you're probably right, to be fair, Reece. I don't think a lot would have changed, but it would have been nice to see what would have happened.
Yeah, of course. At least the one thing is Tottenham is, you know, Tottenham are going to score goals, but you also know they're going to concede goals. So would we have gone a bit, little bit more negative and sat in a bit and invited them on and sprung out a bit more on the counter? We don't know, unfortunately. It's all in hindsight, I'm afraid.
Yeah. The Christian second half, obviously, I mentioned Bensinkur and Højbjerg come on for Tottenham. That seemed to really change the game, and they kind of gave him a kick up the backside as themselves safe gave us one. And unfortunately, Van der Ven is, well, they're all queuing up really from a corner, which is taken short. We discussed this just before we went live, and he's got a free hit at goal, and you can't give players of any ilk in the Premier League a free hit at goal, because they just punish you in the end.
Yeah, it was, I think the way I saw it was a hell of a finish, but I can see the other side of the coin in that, you know, obviously we could have done more. And yeah, naturally, that's what you leap to. Forest could do more to defend it. But I mean, like, yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, he's done well. I thought it was going wide first. And I saw him just sort of creep in top corner. I was like, sometimes you hold your hands up and just say fair play. I think that was one of those times. I just to obviously sort of go against the grain really in regards to Forest going 2-1 up. But I actually felt that had we got that second goal, it would have been very similar to the Newcastle game. And I also think that we haven't mentioned it, obviously, that had Maddison been sent off and obviously with Forest going 2-1 up, it could have been, no, we could be sat here talking about a very different conversation topic right now.
I mean, yeah, I've completely forgot. Absolutely brushed over that incident. I mean, interested to get both your opinions. For me, at the time, and I think Christian, you might agree. I when I've rewatched it at half time, I'm like, it's a bit, it'd be very soft. But equally, at the same time, Morgan Gibbs-White gets like barely brushed by Rodri on the throw, and he gets sent off. And I think Casemiro gets sent off against Will Hughes. And if it's Yates doing the reverse way, you wouldn't grumble, because you go, well, you gave the referee a decision to make and you've done something stupid. I'd like to get your thoughts both on it as well. Reece, I'll start with yourself.
It's a bit of a tough one for me, because but all the good things kind of Ryan Yates does with his niggling and that, etc. He has, I think, become a target for referees at times to basically say, get up. I noticed Michael Oliver doing it quite a bit against Fulham. There's quite a few times where he put himself on the floor and Oliver was like, no, we're not having none of that. I mean, he fouled Maddison that much, he wound him up that much, that he was stupid enough to do that, Maddison. Is it a red? It's a tough one, isn't it? And I get why people are obviously not too pleased about it. I guess the caveat is, well, Felipe grabbed Bruno Fernandes round the neck early in the season and got sent off. So I know that wouldn't have changed the game at that point because it was in the last minute, but you get my drift. I kind of aligned with what Roy Keane said. And to be honest, Roy Keane would probably be biased towards us having played for us and having praised Ryan Yates quite a lot over the few years. And I've noticed Roy's praised him. So, you know, he says he's kind of in for them tricks to trade, isn't he? And yeah, it's just one of them for me. I think easily both could have been sent off and easily both could have been left on the pitch like there was. I mean, you know, Yates made the VAR symbol. I seen a guy on Twitter saying that, there was nothing in that because it wasn't excessive. But you know what football fans are like. If a player had done that against us on a yellow card already, I think people would be baying for a red. So, I mean, I just thought, Percy, the referee kind of evened it up. You know, there was a time earlier on in the half where Yates had brought Maddison down. He could have easily been booked Yates then. He didn't book him. Maddison made the gesture for a card. The ref didn't book him. So we kind of say on this pod, if the refs are consistent for both sides, which really I think overall with them instances, he kind of has been, you get on with it, don't you? I think they easily both could have gone. Maddison could have gone, but at the end of the day, it didn't happen. And we can't keep blaming decisions like that when we can't defend, is the truth, really.
Yeah, well, Christian, Joe, before we get into it, I don't want this to turn into like a sledging match on Ryan Yates, because his performance was pretty below standard. But it would have been the only good thing he would have done if he'd got James Maddison sent off, arguably as well. What did you make of it, or did you think it was the right decision in the end?
I think the referee should have been sent to the monitor at the very least. I feel that, you know, personally, like, you know, I see there's so many contradictory things about it. People saying, like, oh, you shouldn't go down that easily, but then you shouldn't be punching someone in the stomach. Because someone said, oh, it's not much for a punch, but then you shouldn't be making a fist and putting it in someone's stomach anyway. Like, I feel like, if you do that on a football pitch, you're giving a referee a massive decision to make. I just think it's incredibly stupid from Maddison. I agree with what you said. I feel I've actually went around. The red card can't come out soon enough. And, you know, a referee should make a fair point. Yes, you should defend better. And of course, that's the case, especially if you're playing teams of like quality where the finest, the fine margins are enough to put your goal behind. But equally, like, I just found it very bizarre he wasn't sent to the monitor to at least check that. Like, it's all well and good saying, oh, you know, I didn't book Maddison for waving a card. I didn't book Gates for doing the most biggest rectangle I've ever seen in my life and sat on the floor just like that. But I still think that, you know, you can't just go, whether it's with any force or not, you can't, whether Yates has dropped like a sack of stones or not, you can't go around doing that on a football pitch. Ultimately, it should be, that's a red card offence. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter what level that is. So, no, you're still good keen saying be stronger and all that, but equally, I feel that had that been the other way around, the narrative would have been completely different. It would have been, how stupid are you to do something like that on a football pitch, and what you're playing at? Like, so I'm not, yeah, I feel like if the referee, I don't, to be fair, I mean, none of us saw it in real time. Like, and I think the referee's probably excluded from that, to be fair, as well, because, you know, we all saw Yates stay down. It was like, oh, what's on the floor for this time? And then, like, obviously he stayed down, and then obviously the Fox fans are getting anxious, but weren't putting it out, and understandably so. On both sides of the coin, really. I mean, you know, it's not a rule anymore. The ref has to stop the game as a head injury. But yeah, I mean, when I saw it back, I was like, that should have been at least sent to the monitor. And look, the ref goes to the monitor after that and goes, all right, you know what, I don't care. Like, you've gone down too soft, you're stupid, we're calling it that. A yellow card each, obviously, in Yates would have gone anyway. But I felt that he's very lucky to be on the pitch to Maddison. And it's just, you know, I think it's so done with decisions now. It's sort of become like, where does this even rank? Someone punched one of our players at the start, and we're not even sure it's the worst decision we've had this season. Like,
Reese, what did you want to add?
Yeah, I think with the monitor thing, the issue is that once a referee has been sent to the monitor, it's like they've got to go with the monitors. They've got to go with the VAR ref's decision. And that's the problem they made with VAR, is that it's just too much of the old boys club. We saw that, didn't we, with the disallowed goal in the Tottenham-Liverpool game, where it was like a chat down a pub. You know, these are meant to be, these are highly paid professionals on, you know, six-figure salaries. And it was like a chat down the pub, hence why they balls it up so much. And that was something when they introduced VAR that they should have done. They should have got specialist VAR refs in there. That was a massive mistake.
We've said it loads of times, haven't we?
Yeah, because like I said, it's too much the boys club. And, you know, we've said it with Lee, haven't we, on this pod before? You know, if a senior referee's reffing, is somebody in the VAR ref who's probably, let's say, not got the experience of the ref on the pitch in the Premier League, are they really going to overrule the referee, for example? I know, who was the VAR yesterday?
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, Simon Hooper's pretty established now in the Prem. I can't imagine it would have been somebody more established than him. Maybe I might be wrong in that, but you get what I'm saying. I do agree with Christian. It was stupid. Sorry, Adam.
My biggest gripe is we've seen penalties and how soft they can get given. So it's exactly the same thing, regardless of Maddison giving him an Anthony Joshua right hook or a jab, for instance. It's still a punch. It's still something that you shouldn't do. They always say that when players raise their hands and go, oh, well, they know they can't raise their hands to people's faces because they know they're going to get done for, even if they're like just flick them in the ear or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's so inconsistent. I'm just absolutely fed up with it because I do think it's soft, but I also know it's still a red at the same time. Yeah. It's stupid. Both of them, get rid of them both, because I didn't want Ryan Yates on the pitch at the time anyway, because he was already down to 10 with him on, because he was so bad. I didn't want to call it a sledging match. I've already said this. I'm a hypocrite, for goodness sake. But anyway, let's last word from one of you, and then we'll move on to the Porro.
Unfortunately, with humans, you're always going to get subjectivity, aren't you? That's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
But that shouldn't be subjective. Reece, he's punched him in the stomach. Like, what more? What more do you need to find in the violent conduct for that? Like, it might be a red, it might not be a foul. I'm not denying it.
It could have been a red card, but I'm trying to give the balanced view that Brian Yates could have also been sent off yesterday and was lucky not to be.
Something that blatant. Like, we're not splitting hairs here. He's literally punched him in the stomach.
I'm saying as well, you know, like people say, like you're saying, if it was on the flip side, Yates had been off. Well, like I said, Felipe got Bruno Fernandes round the neck early on in the season.
He should have got sent off.
Like,
he should have got sent off and then rewarded for doing like Premier League.
In
my opinion, he'd grab him hard enough.
It's
throttling like Homer and Bart.
Because the thing for me is, if Yates had punched Maddison and got sent off, I'd have gone, you're an idiot, and it'd have been done. Do you know what I mean? But let's move on anyway. Spurs obviously smell blood. They scored another 5 minutes later. For me, Yates doesn't stop the cross, which is inevitably there to do a job on Maddison, and he got nowhere near him. And Bentancur, like, whether he meant it or not, he flicks it, and it's a great finish from Porro, isn't it, Christian? You have to. Reece, you did. Did you do the Van de Ven goal, Christian? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Reece. I mean, it's a great finish from Porro. No denying it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna blame Ryan Yates for that one, mate, because there was three people queuing up at the back post.
Oh, I know. It was.
I know what you're saying. Marking. Stop the cross, but you know,
where's Aina?
Three of them. I was just like, you can kind of understand one because it happens in football, but three players, I mean, Jesus, I was just watching as he was queuing up. I'm like, you know, where is the team? Yeah. You know, are they all like just
admiring it going in the top corner?
Yeah, I mean, it was typical that we've let a centre-half slam a rocket into the top corner, and then we've also let a wing-back score his first goal for Tottenham. I think it was yesterday. Porro, that's very Forest, isn't it? And once that went in, I mean, the game just completely, it was very much like the first 20 odd minutes. It just completely drifted, and it got to like a friendly pace, and you knew that Spurs had us there at arm's length, and you kind of thought, well, we'll just play at a friendly pace. If Forest do get one back, then we might turn it up a notch again. But, you know, it just drifted, unfortunately. And the subs, you know, I just didn't understand the subs personally. I get Morgan Gibbs White had to come off because he felt his hammy. You know, there's no beating around the bush for that, because if his hammy goes, he's probably out for the rest of the season. We can't afford to lose him. He had to come off. But why not bring Gio Reyna on? You know, why are we bringing on Dominguez to stick him in a 10 when he's a midfielder? Why don't we bring Ribeiro on rather than Origi, who's just not offering us anything at the minute? Just go on, lads. It's 3-1. The game's pretty much lost, but go out there and just put yourselves about, run around a bit, you know, try and get something back in the game. And then he did make the two subs, Reyna and Sangare, just 10 minutes too late. It was a perfect chance to say to Sangare, look, you're struggling for confidence at the minute. Go out there, try and impose yourself a little bit. The game's kind of gone, really. And if we've lost, because it was just is like
that was my trying to
we chucked in the towel. And let's be honest, we all thought, I think yesterday we all predicted, like Christian said earlier, that with his head, you fancied Tottenham to win, and the season won't be defined on yesterday. But he was kind of like, you know, the game just completely drifted away from us,
especially with how we ended the first half.
Yeah, I think that was the main thing. I think if we'd have, you know, if we'd have finished the first half 1-0 down and we played absolutely terrible and we'd lost the game as we did 3-1, I don't think there'd be as much of a frustration, because we had that period when we was really in the game, and arguably we should have been ahead at half time. So to just come out second half and just let the game drift away from us and gift Tottenham, you know, a 2-goal lead really in the space of minutes was just frustrating. But we are a frustrating side to watch, because defensively we just gone, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at his last six fixtures. I'd be very surprised if we kept another clean sheet this season. I just don't see it. I just hope his forward line is on form, because we're just going to have to go with the 90s Kevin Keegan mantra of outscoring teams, basically.
Yeah.
I know you have to do that anyway, but usually when you're in a relegation battle, you take a couple of 1-0s, don't you? But I just can't see us doing it. Defensively, so many mistakes.
Christian kind of hit the nail on the head there. My gripe is with a little bit with Nuno in terms of being a reactionary manager. We saw it with Marco Silva in midweek, where he dragged off three players at 33 minutes. We've seen it at the weekend where Big Angers dragged off his two central midfielders for two more ball players, as I do like to call them. It's the one thing I thought Nuno would bring to us, and that would be that bit more ruthlessness in a sense. Like, why did he not take Yates off? Why did he not put Gio Reyna in and et cetera, as Reece touched on? It's a bit baffling for me.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I agree. I found the subs very bizarre. Like, at first, we saw players warming up. I thought, okay, like, we saw them in games and thought, okay, that makes some sense. So he gets a bit of life into midfield. And like when I saw Origi, I was like, okay, not ideal, but okay. I mean, it still means that you're bringing fresh life into midfield, and you know, you're giving another attacking option. Fine, that's an admirable. So obviously we saw Gibbs White Gibbs White's number come up. Obviously the initial reaction was like, what? And then obviously when we saw him sort of like hobble off, it was a bit like, ah, okay, that might be why. But to keep Yates on was just ridiculous. I mean, like you said, like, I don't want this to turn into a slay match. We really had bits and pieces today about, oh, you know, we've all got an agenda against Yates and this, that and the other. It's, no, we don't. Like, but these people just can't get their head around the fact that if you say something negative about him, it doesn't mean you hate him. And like, I personally think that in a blood and run the game, it doesn't matter if we're playing Manchester City or Real Madrid. If it's a blood and the game where it's like battles all over the pitch, Ryan Yates is the man you want in your midfield. When you're playing a team who have the quality Spurs do, who will keep the ball and who won't give away cheaply, and you have to rely on technical ability to get anything out of them, he is the last person you want on that pitch. And that proves yesterday, like within a few minutes, he was incredibly exposed, as proved by the fact he got four fouls in the first 13 minutes. I think I saw this morning he lost 7 out of his 9 duels, Yates. That's abysmal. Now, imagine if that was, you know, a certain Ivorian midfielder that some of our fans have now turned into a bit of a hate figure. Like, that was disgraceful as well. Like, you know, hearing some of our fans boo their own player coming on before I get people saying, oh, you know, it was the Spurs fans booing Yates. Like, I literally turned around, unless there were Spurs fans in the Forest wearing Forest scarves and, you know, Forest shirts booing them, then no, that wasn't the case at all. Like, it's just deplorable at this moment in time. It's a really, like, Like, it reminded me of the Palace game, to be honest, like how sort of toxic it was and the sort of elements that our fan base are like that. It's completely unneeded. Like, just because your star boy isn't performing doesn't mean you take it out on someone else. We all should be, like, you know, behind the whole team here. We've got six games to save a Premier League campaign we waited 23 years for, and you're picking out scapegoats. Like, it's just, it's embarrassing, really. But no, I mean, another issue, I've just seen a couple of comments, quite a few people mentioned it actually, is that, you know, this is something else that falls under Nuno's remit. No one knew who's be captain. Like, ended up being a Langer, didn't it? Williams first, and when he came off, they sort of tossed it around like a hot potato, and then it ended up on a Langer's arm. It was like, come on, like, someone take responsibility for the team. Like, it feels like at times, like, when it clicks with Forest and it clicks against Fulham, it clicks, I'd say, partially against Palace, because obviously we dug in pretty well to get a point against a team that's sitting, which is very uncharacteristic of how Forest have been for at least for the first part of this season. Like, how often Forest got a goal down, I think, oh, that's it. But, and obviously you got a half an hour spell, 25 minutes spell against Spurs, where we had them on the ropes, half-time came at the wrong time, and, you know, they changed the game and stepped up a few gears. But there are times also where it feels like we're a team of individuals rather than a collective, and that was one of those moments yesterday, and that does fall under the manager. I'm sorry, like, I want it to work for Nuno, I really do, but that's something he has to grab by the balls and go, this stops now, someone take responsibility. If my captain's coming off the pitch, who's going to step up? I don't want to see that armband thrown around, just like, I don't want it, you have it. Oh, why don't you have it? Why don't you have it? Someone just take responsibility and slap it on your arm. Like, you're representing Nottingham Football Club. You're not on a Sunday league pitch. Like, it needs to be better.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. Reece, you got anything to add before we go into some slept on it thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, is it, when you're 3-1 down, you're seeing the captain's armband being tossed about around players. It should really just gone back to Sells, shouldn't it? He's going to play the 90 minutes. Murillo's a young lad. Sells is an experienced international keeper, and he was our man of the match yesterday. Give it to him. He's going to play the 90. You know that. He's going to command into, like I said, his experience. He's nearly 30. Should have just gone to him. I mean, it just makes it look a bit of a joke, doesn't it, when it's being tossed about, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get on to some slept on it thoughts.
One thing I will say positive, because obviously we are being very sort of down in the dumps at the minute. I do think that the Forest from yesterday probably beat Spurs last season, the same fixture, the way we played. Unfortunately, the Spurs team we played yesterday were also a lot better than the Spurs we played last year.
Oh, I know. The positivity from them on the train was like probably completely polar opposite for when I spoke to Flav last year. They were like, yeah, Ange Ball is great. I was like, fair enough. They all bloody hated
him. We missed out on him, guys, unfortunately. But let's move on with that one.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, let's get on to your slept on it thoughts.
Red Side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
Having a scan through our slept on it thoughts, everyone's actually quite positive, which I think is quite a good thing, at least, to say we've lost. So keep an eye on it in function. One step up, two steps back. The lack of consistency, the lack of fight away from home is endemic. I do not want to be going to Burnley on the last day looking for a wing. That was not the positive one, but most of them are, right? Okay. Yummy Bear, frustrating, the opposite of Tuesday night. Didn't take our chances. I blame myself for calling Wood a goal machine to Reece after his first and got punished. Game was fairly even, really, and could have been 3-3. Play that the rest of the season and we'll be fine. Reece Coy showed flashes of the Fulham game, but not enough over the 90. Wood has enough credit in the bank for me to accept that shocking miss. Yates, absolutely atrocious from minute one. Never expected to win the game. Focus on us and keep the togetherness and keep chipping away. Come on your Reds. Saka was back. My main thoughts this evening are, how the hell did Wood hit the post from there? Madison is a dirty. See you next Tuesday. And what the hell does Origi bring to this team? Also, Sells and Williams were class again, and I still believe we're staying up. 55. Can't decide if the manager is bipolar or the team. Yates is yellow, neutralised him. Midfield completely overwhelmed. Changes should have come at 2-1 down. Heads dropped and second best for everything second half. We need a formation change and a bit of reaction from Nuno at 2-1. I do agree. Sam, great. Create chances, don't take chances. Concede, getting boring now. Big game on Saturday, time to show up. Ian, this team of mercenaries need to show some fight for 23 years out of this league, and we're going to throw it away in the probably the worst ever Premier League season. Stand up and fight for the badge, include the manager, looting or fighting. We are not pathetic. BG Crabtree, there's nothing wrong with losing away versus Tottenham. What is not acceptable is starting Yates and lowering our ceiling of attack. He will never add anything in the final third. I just don't understand why we're trying to force him on the pitch. He's not the scapegoat. Lewis Morris, story of our season, gilt-edged chances missed, shocking defensive errors again, our inability to mark players is a joke, and Nuno's decisions are becoming a farce. Wouldn't care if he went tomorrow. Teams around us started to pick up points too. First half, chalk and cheese. Lee, a bit of confidence and bravery in the first half when we looked decent. If Wood would have made it 2-1, might have had been different. Second half, we were toothless. On to the next one. Last of all, but no means least, Grant Fellows, slow start, then looked the better side. Wood scores either of his very decent other chances. You never know how it plays out. Poor second half, gave them a couple of free shots that killed us. Onto Wolves, dare I say, must win. I mean, I thought they were more positive than that, but maybe not. I'm just going to do Lee's as well, because obviously couldn't make it tonight. And he said, do we have to overanalyze everything and be bipolar constantly? We played a top four side, gave it a good go, and another day we might get something. Amabamadile continues impressing me, and losing at Tottenham won't be season defining. Bring on Saturday. Some player performances, guys. I'm going to make it short and sweet in a sense. Christian, I'm going to give you Matt Sells.
Oh, glorious. Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Save from Johnson. The save he made from range as well. I don't know who hit it, but which looked like it was from where we were, obviously, behind the goal, from our way, it looked like it was going straight into the top corner, and suddenly this like white glove just came out of nowhere and put it over the bar. Again, just such a calming reassurance. There were times where like he wasn't fazed at all by the Spurs press whatsoever. It didn't matter if it was Werner, Johnson, or Son sprinting straight at him. He was just so calm with the ball. He knew exactly where he was going to put it. I think he slipped once for a kick. That was it. Everything else went pretty much exactly where he wanted it to go. And you compare that to what we had before. I'm convinced if we had Turner in goal yesterday, at least they probably would have scored and chasing down one of his appearances, guaranteed. He did that on the ball. He'd have kicked it straight at Son. It would have looped in like the... Nunes' goal against someone.
Everton, Calvert-Lewin did as well at the weekend. It's been a bit of a theme of late.
Well, like, he just kicked it out. All Nathan Tyson against Norwich, for those who remember from the Championship era when we lost 2-1. Kucheski got sent off. And I honestly think that with a keeper who's just like less assured of left feet, we would have been in such big trouble last night, because that Spurs press were intense. And calmest man in the stadium every single time. Wasn't phased. You know, obviously, he was taking his time with his goal kicks and making sure it was exactly perfect, which rattled the Spurs fans no ends. I just thought that, Sells, I just wish we had him at the start of this season. And if we do go down, I pray we can keep him, because, he's clearly an international class goalkeeper. And obviously, again, a lot of recruitment's maligned. And we shouldn't be spending £20 million on three different goalkeepers. But the one we've got for £5 million at the end of the summer, at the end of the window, has been so, so good for us so far.
Reece, I kind of struggled to kind of give you another one, because Matt Sells was our probably standout player, but someone who I thought was impressive first half and then a little bit like bipolar second half was Anthony Elanga. I thought he gave Doggy a torrid time first half. Inham and Williams did really, really well, and then second half he just didn't seem to like want to run in behind or anything. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I think he's similar to Brennan Johnson from last season, in the sense of when he's at it and he's got the ball and you kind of play into his strengths, he's a real threat, as we saw with the goal, put it into a great area. And Chris Wood, as he's doing at the minute, is sweeping most things home. It's just kind of when, you haven't got the ball, he's just kind of like not really in the game as much, which is, it's kind of been one of the things of this season, haven't we? We had that little period where we're getting joy from a player and then we kind of stopped doing it. How many times has Elanga, for example, had fullbacks on a card and then we decide to stop targeting that side?
I've lost count.
Kufal at West Ham, Hickey at home against Brentford, for example. I mean, we've got to try and get the ball as much to that three behind Wood as much as possible, from an attacking sense, and they've got to try and put it on a plate for Wood, which, to be fair, Alanga did with that goal. But he's had a pretty good season. I mean, yeah, he's in double figures, isn't he, now for goal contributions?
Yeah, 13 now.
I think he'll be a little bit disappointed. He probably hasn't scored a few more goals with kind of the chances he's had. But like I said, he's still, what is he, 21?
Yeah.
He's one of them players where you kind of hope he'd grow with you. You know, if we keep his Premier League status, he's one of them players, as is Hudson-Odoi on the other side, as is Gibbs-White, as is Murillo, as is Omobadadele, as is Nico Williams probably now. These are the type of players what, you know, you help hope grow with the club and be successful in the Premier League. So, yeah, I think he's had a pretty good season so far, and that front four are going to have to be on, you know, the top of the game, because we're going to need him, because like I said earlier, at the other end, we can't keep the goals out, so we're going to for sure need plenty of goals. I mean, when's Taiwo back? He's got to be back maybe soon or nothing.
No idea, to be honest. So not really hurt. There's,
yeah.
Who knew, like, it's a bit tight-lipped at Forest, unfortunately, with these certain things.
Yeah, well, you kind of... I mean, when was it he got injured? It was just before the Luton game. So what's that? That was about a month ago now.
Yeah.
Did we say at the time he was going to be out for a month, I think? Well, not really been anything like in terms of his back in training or anything, which, to be fair, is something the social media team put out last time. So
it makes you laugh. They went through all that effort, then he got injured quick.
To be fair, he's someone else we kind of need back, because as we saw yesterday, when Wood come off, you know, he's the number one striker at the minute, to be fair to him. We've not really got much else, have we, on the bench? It's Origi who's huffed and puffed really off season with him, not much outlay. And then you've got, like I said last week, just a young kid on there. You know, if you're not going to give him a run out in games like yesterday, when are you kind of going to give him a run out, really? You get to the point where you're like, you may as well just kept someone like Dale Taylor at the club, because
he's got an absolute worldie.
He's not ready. He's just,
I agree. Like we may as well have stuck a song on the bench. You know what I mean? Because if you're not going to use him, it's the same bloody thing. But anyway, we'll get into some results over the weekend and kind of what our reaction is to that. I know I don't want to rely on too many other teams, but I think it's a good talking point just before we get into the Wolves, just a brief reaction. Christian, obviously Luton and Everton both won. We're on the same level of points with Luton head on goal difference. Everton just above us. Has the points deduction thing been like, is it been confirmed? There's been so many things I've seen on social media. I don't have a clue. Maybe you can enlighten us.
Points deduction, Everton.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been hit with two points.
2 points for definite. But then, like, what's your reaction to them two winning? I mean, it was the first time Everton won in like 17 games and Luton about 11 or 10. What do you make of the rest of the season with all that? Because unfortunately, unless we keep winning games, we're going to have to start looking over our shoulder a little bit and keep relying on teams, unfortunately. We can't look after ourselves.
I feel like the only thing is how one, I think, Bournemouth apparently had a bit of a tactical nightmare, a 1-0 up or 1-0, and then just took their wingers off, put Slank in the right wing, and then it always fell a bit. Which is obviously frustrating, but you can't expect favours from other teams. You have to do it yourself. It's still in our hands. It's the main thing. As for Everton winning, I didn't have my accumulator down. I didn't do it, but if I was doing a accumulator, I would have had Everton on there. I looked at their fixtures before the Burnley game, and I was like, they're going to win at least four of their last seven games. They've got Burnley, they've got they had Luton, Brentford, us, and I think there was someone else down, Sheffield United, maybe.
Sheffield United, I think.
Yeah. I was like, they're going to win at least four of those games. Everton are going to be fine. Like, so I'm not even considering it. At the minute, I think it's a straight shoot helping Forest and moving for that 18th spot. And, you know, obviously we have it in us to put goal over and get a few points on the board. I do think I know obviously it's a massive disappointment given what's at stake and given that I think people are forgetting just like how good a team Spurs are. Not saying that there's no such thing as a free hit at this stage of the season. Of course, I understand that, but you know, like very, very few people would have gone into that game thinking, "Oh yeah, Forest can win here. Forest will win here." Even like, that's unrealistic, and they've still got tough games to go. Obviously, you know, with Luton, they've got City next week. They've got to go to West Ham. I think they've got to go Wolves as well. Like it will come down to home form with Luton. They are really. So
yeah, they've got Fulham, Everton, and Brentford. So,
but it helps that Brentford's still on out of trouble. Yeah, Brentford will need to go and get a result. Everton will know. Everton could be in a position where they go there and win, they can stay up, regardless of any points deductions. So you know, these aren't the only real game you can look at and say, okay, what they've got left. You can probably say put chalk up a win in their column is probably against Fulham. I fancy to beat Fulham at home, which is something riding on it. So. You know, there's lots of twists and turns to go. Yeah, as a former Forest manager used to want to say quite a lot, but you know, I'm still. I think if we lose against Wolves, I'll be a bit more worried because we've got a great chance next week to get a bit of a buffer, or at least a 3-point buffer, which sort of gives us a game's sort of recovery, if you like. If we mess up somewhere along the line, but then you look at what we've got as well. I mean, like, yeah, okay, some of these games are away from home. Yes, our away form's been patchy, but. You know, if you apply a half hour against Spurs, who are much better than anything else we're going to play against away from home this season, if you apply that half hour against, you know, Sheffield United against Burnley, we should be winning those games. So, yeah, not going to be easy, but ultimately still in our hands first and foremost, and that's the most important thing. I'd be more worried. I wouldn't swap our position for Luton's, but that way, there's still a possibility that we could get points back. So, it's not all hope is lost yet.
Yeah, Reece, anything different?
Well, I mean, the main positive is it's still in our hands. I mean, when you're in a relegation battle, if someone says to you, "Look, it's in your hands. You do the business. You'll stay up." You take it on the chin. I mean, of course, the results weren't good for us this weekend. I mean, Everton, that was their first win since they actually beat Burnley in the reverse fixture. I mean, the goal. I'm not sure if any of you've actually seen the goal.
I've seen it.
Parler from one of our great goalkeepers in Aaron Murich. I guess the little negative there is it's kind of got Calvert-Lewin. That means he's got 2-2, where he was really struggling back. He had that barren run of form, didn't he? Look, there's still a long, long way to go. There's still a lot of football to be played. Everyone thinks the likes of teams playing Sheffield and Burnley that they're a walkover. Well, Luton lost to Sheffield United at home, for example. So there's still, and they're not, I know everyone's saying Burnley and Sheffield United are down, and I agree, I think they will go down, but while there's still a possibility, they'll still be going at it. There's still a lot, like Christian said, Brentford need a result. And then you look, like you see people on obviously social media, etc., or that X team's going to be on the beach by that time. Well, you look back to last season when Fulham absolutely thrashed Leicester when they was on the beach at the back end of the season. West Ham had a European final. They ended up beating Leeds at the back end of the season. So, and I guarantee you in this league, the difference in this league is, you know, a chairman will be saying, well, tell you what, lads, you finish 3 places higher up the table. It's another £2.5 million per position, I believe it is. So there's still no easy games yet. There's a lot of football to be played. And like I said, the positive is it's in our hands. We have got to do the business, and that starts Saturday. It's a must-win game Saturday. Christian hit the nail on the head. You've got the chance of getting that 3-point buffer again with Luton going to Manchester City, and you feel now City, as you always are at this stage of the city, at this stage of the season, are in the zone. You know, it's a little bit of a shame they've got Champions League games against Madrid either side, I believe, but they're kind of in that zone now, Manchester City, and they can rotate and bring in another world-class player for another. So we'll see. I mean, we've just got to do the business ourselves. And if we can win Saturday, and I'd say Everton away then is a must not lose. We cannot go there and get beat. If we go there and get 4 points for the next two, I'd be pretty content with that. And that'd put us in a good stead. The City game is one of them where, you know, you can't treat it as a bonus because you know, every game's vital, but it would be a bonus if we got something against them. And then you look at the last three games of the season, Sheffield United might be down by then. I know the caveat to us is the fact that they'll probably love to take us down with them because they hate us. Chelsea are an absolute basket case. That game at home is winnable, in my opinion. I mean, Burnley should have won, could have won there last week with 10 men. Sheffield United have drew at home with them yesterday. You just don't know what you're going to get with Chelsea, do you? No. Entertainment, for sure. and then, obviously, last day of the season is Burnley, which you don't know. Burnley might be down by then. We might need to go there and need some. So we'll see. There's a long way to go, yeah. I mean, we had kind of our delight in midweek. This weekend, it's not been as good. You know, we've seen, you know, I didn't know Luton and Bournemouth had more than double figure fans, but clearly they have this week with all I'm seeing them on, it's all I've seen on Twitter. So, I know I have enjoyed really that people saying, oh, Bournemouth won't do us a favour. Well, to be fair, they did beat Everton in the last minute and it was 3-0 down against Luton and beat them. So let them have that little love in them two clubs. It's still in our hands. We've just got to do it ourselves. And like I said, it starts on Saturday. You know, the ground's got to be up again, how it was against Palace and Fulham. And we, you know, the thought of staying up above Luton after all you see from the stuff you see on Twitter and that would be, a moment to savour.
Yeah, well, we are speaking to Dan, aren't we, Christian, in the week from Wolves. Wolves fan who got you he got you an appearance at Molineux. I mean, I don't know if like they're going to forget like Morgan Gibbs White's the next player, because we've got so much gripe with PGMO between us clubs. We might be a bit united in some sort of front. How do you see that game going? In what's your first thoughts of it?
Thought we'd have this sort of like weird alliance with Wolves, but it's amazing what incompetence could do to people, isn't it? But
seasons ago, and then obviously because Gibbs White's come to us, and there was a bit of some housery obviously last season in the Cup, and him being an ex-player, it kind of ramped it up a little bit. And then I feel like we've got kind of come back down to an even keel now.
Yeah, something like that. As I think the game goes. Initial thoughts, it's going to be the most contentious, controversial 0-0 draw in Premier League history. It'll be one that's shown for like years and years to come on Premier League years. Like, it'll be one that we've shown at refereeing classes of how not to referee a football match. There'll be about 15 disallowed goals, 100 like bar stoppages, penalty appeals to GBH that go unpunished because they can't decide who they hate more, out Forest or Wolves. I don't know. Joking aside. They've been a bit weird recently, Wolves. They've been a bit off. I know, obviously, they're very unfortunate the West Ham to get a point because of that ridiculous decision. But I don't know. It seems like they've got to a point where they're pretty much safe. They've sort of fizzled out a little bit. And I think, given we've got more on the line than they have, I think we can use that to our advantage. I know what Reece just said about not being on a beach. I'm not saying that Wolves are, but they've kind of got their plane tickets to go to the mid-table, haven't they, really? So I think the European dream's pretty much gone for them now. So all we can sort of do is secure the path. They look pretty okay, I think. I think the last time we set the table, I don't really look beyond the bottom five anymore. So I'm not entirely sure where Wolves are. 11th, yeah.
They're 11th, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, given home advantage, given the Nuno factor as well, I feel like we can get a win. It'll probably be a decent game. But, yeah, I think that we kind of need to win it, really. I think this we will have that little bit more want than them.
And, what's your score prediction?
I'm going to go for 2-1. Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-1 for us. I think that Neil's done a very good job there, but the data nerds will tell you their underlying data is not good, and I think that we can maybe exploit that. So, 2-1 Forest. Well,
Lee's gone for 2-1 as well. Reece, are you making it a three-quarter full house?
I mean, I'm just looking at the table now with Wolves. I guess it'd be a string to Gary O'Neill's bow, wouldn't it, that if he did get them in the top half. So I'm expecting a tough game. I don't think there'll be any of this personally over there on the beach and thinking about whereabouts in the Algarve they'd like to go to. What I do enjoy about Gary O'Neill was, yeah, they got some stinking decisions early on in the season, but we had a decision against them up there and he told us to get on with it. So I did enjoy him whinging like a little kid this weekend, these managers who, when it goes against them, it's the worst thing ever, but everyone else has to get on with it when it goes against them. You know, I think he's believing his own hype a little bit because he's been linked with Manchester United. But
blimey. I did not know that.
God, some of the people have been linked with Manchester United. It was linked at one point ago as a coach.
Those three might be linked at some point.
But no, he's done a brilliant job. I mean, I had him in my top three managers of the season last season. He's proved himself that he's a really good young English coach, as much as sometimes I don't like his demeanour, but what Premier League managers kind of demeanours do you like? Obviously, there's a Nuno factor. They haven't forgot about Gibbs White, mate. Jesus.
Well, I know that.
They'll
know
never forget that. I'm not sure if you guys seen on Twitter the other day the picture of Gibbs White on the exercise bike, and all the exercise bikes to the side looked like they were sticking two fingers up. And the Wolves fan had put, "This is Gibbs White when he comes back to Molyneux." So, no, they've definitely not forgotten about that. You know, speaking to a couple of guys out of Forza, I said that TFO would have been even better to bring out against Wolves, but I think they didn't want to incite a riot, I think was the reply. So,
boring.
If I'm going to be honest with my head, I think it'll be the same score as last year and the same score as the away game this year, and I think it will be a 1-1. So I'm going to go with that, mate. Hopefully we can nick it, but I just have this feeling it might be a draw. It won't surprise if it kind of went how it did last year, where we scored first half, was holding on a little bit, and then they scored. I think, was it last 10 minutes? Daniel Podence scored, I believe, after spitting Brennan Johnson. But we're not going down that road. Hopefully we can do it because we need it. It's a must win.
Yeah, I mean, Wolves are a bit... I mean, Mateus Cunha come back at the weekend, and Aiton Ori unfortunately went off injured for them, and he's been in right good form for them. He's been playing further forward, weirdly. He's been playing like attacking midfield because they've got no Hwang, and then no Neto, which is...
I'm
happy about that because Neto is a cracking player. Just got cheestring for hamstrings, unfortunately. I think it's a game where we can definitely take advantage of some areas of the pitch. I don't want to say that phrase that's been bandied around this season so many times, and then every time it has, we've just done nothing with it. I think it's the whole Gibbs White thing, us needing to probably get a win kind of adds to the occasion. So hopefully the atmosphere will be really good. The atmosphere between the sets of supporters will be really good. So I think it sets itself up to be a really cracking game. I think if we can get into that flow like we did in the first half against Spurs and get some confidence like we did against Fulham as well and take our chances, there's no reason why we can't take Wolves apart and actually beat them. I really feel like we can beat them. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win because it's inevitable we'll let a goal in. Max Kilman is like the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. I'm sure he'll probably nod one in. So I'm going to go for 3-1. It'll be a good game. I think there'll be some big tackles going in and some fist pumps going on from certain players and maybe some fingers and ears, hopefully. So we'll leave it at that. We'll probably see you in the midweek for the preview with Dan. I'm sure there's a lot to talk about between us. So until next time, we'll see you then. Come on, you Reds.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.